Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Sorry, I've been gone for a few weeks. As everybody knows, the season is getting ready to go underway, and for the California Leagues, we've been real busy in our game prep. We just opened up our inaugural season with an exciting exhibition game out in Fresno, California, before the crowd of the Central Valley Coyotes of the Arena Football League 2. Tonight's show is going to be a little bit of a twist. We're actually going to have our new announcer, long-time announcer. He's announced in several leagues, the men's level and the LCFL. He's also done IWFLs as well, and he's also going to be the announcer for the California Lynx. That's James Evans. And
thank
also
you.
Having coming in, hopefully he'll call in on time, will be the owner/head coach of the Ventura Black Widows, Ron Newton. Now, tonight, like I said, it's going to be a bit of a twist, because I'm not going to be doing all the questions. In fact, our announcer, James Evans, will be doing all the announcing and asking the questions. So glad to have you online, James.
Thanks a lot, Coach. You know, I'm nice to meet all the fans. Yeah, it was a real phenomenal game we had there for our first game for the Women's Football Alliance. Coach, I got to tell you, I'm really impressed, not just on the field but off the field, what's going on with the Lynx and football throughout America at this time.
Well, I mean, as you know, women's football is really starting to take off quite nicely. I mean, with close to 100 teams nationwide and in two major leagues, like I said, women's football will make a statement. Now it's just a matter of what kind of statement and how long that statement is going to be able to be made. Secondly, as far as the Lynx, like I said, we're looking to do big and better things. I mean, it's above. I feel we're head and shoulders above everyone else as far as organizational wise, structure, the type and the quality of athletes we have. Like I said, we've been really concentrating on, you know, just trying to build a solid, you know, dynasty. You know, I just don't want to be one of those, you know, one hit wonders. You know, like in the music industry.
Right.
So, well, yeah. we're doing some big things.
You got some good big shoes to fit into here. I noticed, you know, if you look on the Women's Football Alliance website, you'll see a lot of tremendous teams out there: the Emerald Coast Barracudas, the Gulf Coast Riptide, the Connecticut Cyclones. These are some established teams. The Baltimore Burn—they've been around, it seems like, forever. And now you're coming in with a whole new organization, but a lot of new players, but a lot of established players too.
Yeah, you know what? I'm fortunate enough to actually bring on, you know, some quality veterans, you know, and especially girls who have played under my tutelage, you know, over the years, who really understand the game. You know, like I said, I really try to focus and take the time to teach and instruct. You know, I just don't want players to be like robots out on the field. You know, as far as WFA, it's going to be a powerhouse. I mean, just the quality of teams that are coming in, you know, and then the other quality of teams that are going to be coming in for 2010, you know, that's just going to be even more of a phenom, so to speak.
When you say quality, you mean on the field and off the field?
On the field and off the field. Like I said, we just don't want anybody who, you know, who thinks they can run a team. You know, we want people who know what they're doing. You know, let's face it, you know, one of the things that we really try to sell in the WFA is we try to concentrate on helping each other. You know, we just don't want to be one of those leagues where, you know, everybody's out for themselves. You know, we established, you know, regional directors, which I'm one of them here for, like, for the Pacific Southwest. And with myself and all the other regional directors, we've all made a special effort to, you know, to conference one another to see, you know, the direction everyone's going. You know, kind of basically just take notes from each other. You know, this is the only way that we're going to, you know, keep this league strong, make it stronger, and make it the premier league.
I think you made a good point right there. Making a premier league is all the owners and management of all the teams working together than working separate. And I think a good example is the NFL, NBA. You saw how from the 80s the NBA really became a powerhouse. And so you're looking at how women's football, through the Women's Football Alliance, can become a stronger powerhouse than it's ever been.
Yeah, it can be, you know, and all it takes is people working together. I mean, there's just no other way around it. I mean, if you try to do the whole individualist thing, you know, it's going to be a cutthroat. You know, that's the one thing that you don't want to do, especially if you're, you know, saying you're trying to market a product such as this. You know, it can't be a cutthroat type of deal. Everybody's got to promote one another. Because what's ultimately going to happen if the, let's say the NFL decides to take interest on this, you know what's going to happen? They're pretty much going to cut everyone and keep the ones who they feel know what they're doing.
Now, you just brought up a good point there. With the Lynx right now, they're partnering up with an LCFL team, the South Bay Skulls, correct?
That's correct.
That's a great, great decision on your part to get a brother team to the sister team. You see that. I remember in high school, we used to have track, and the next thing you know, they put the guys' track team and the girls' track team together, cut down expenses. Well, in the same context, I think you were mentioning how the Lynx and the Skulls are developing a relationship both on the field and off the field, and financially, similar sponsors, equipment, and you're using the same field. And I think I mentioned that to you myself, that is a way for the league to prosper.
Honestly, if anybody's trying to look for success, again, this is the only way. And being that, you know, one of my mentors, you know, and closest friends, he's the national director for the LCFL, the Bell Community Football League. You know, he's always been in my corner, you know, since day one.
Are you referencing Mr. Clay?
That's Ray Clay. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I know him quite well. Great gentleman.
Exactly. So he's been in my corner since day one, you know, since I was in high school, you know, playing ball. So, you know, again, it's about taking care of one another. You know, when I became regional vice president for the National Indoor Football League, you know, it was one of those things where I had power, so I'm going to take care of people who I know. And he was one of them. You know, I brought him in. So, like I said, he scratched my back. But, you know, nevertheless, you know, he's been my mentor. And it's just a great deal. So partnering up with the Skulls, you know, I mean, technically, I can honestly say we've been a part of the LCFL since, you know, I've been involved in football. You know, everywhere I go, the LCFL is going to be there, you know.
You know.
With the MLFA, you know, the MLFA's, they're now partners with the LCFL. So you're looking at two of the major semi-pro leagues in the country, you know, that are teamed up now.
Yeah, I think we could all, Coach, we could all agree that the LCFL is doing a phenomenal job in organizing minor league football throughout the West.
Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, the LCFL has completely taken over, you know, West Coast football. Because, I mean, there's so much going on. There's so much that's about to take place. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And unless, you're not a part of the LCFL, and you're a part of some of these other, you know, ridiculous leagues, you're missing out. Because we're talking a Grammy winner, you know, who's actually putting out money to make sure this league prospers.
Right.
You know, Bell ain't no joke, man. She's, you know, every when they host the championship game, East Coast versus West Coast, Oh man, she puts out big butts over here, man. It's no joke.
Also, isn't what Ray and Patty both had done is really emphasize marketing, like no minor league team league has before. And I think that's a great example and a great relationship that the WFA will develop with the LCFL.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. You know, I can give you a good example. See, with the LCFL, they're playing a doubleheader in Legion Field this coming June.
Wow.
Nobody other than the University of Alabama has played on that field.
Wow.
And the mayor in that town, they're like, you know what? We'll take care of it. We'll hook it up.
Right.
So you can imagine. And they just had a concert out there. Patti LaBelle singing.
Right.
You know, free concert that Patti LaBelle put on. And she's going to do 10 concerts across the country. This is all for the LCFL. So just imagine, you know, the implications. You know, if anyone has looked at my website, you know, my Skulls team partnered up with Jeff Garcia.
Right.
And for quarterback.
And what you're doing, you're pulling from their strengths, and they're pulling from the women's strengths and building something to their benefit. Because, in truth, it's helping the LCFL. The WFA and the LCFL help each other to become a stronger. You know, divided we stand, divided we fall, united we stand, divided we fall.
Exactly.
And I think that's a good analogy for the two teams. And we can even bring that onto the field. And some analogy of this last week's game up in Fresno versus the Ventura Black Widows.
Well, I'll put it to you like this. I'm doing so much of a unification. I got some of my Skulls players coming to my practices.
Nice.
You know, and again, it gives them an opportunity to learn my system, and at the same time, it's helping my girls out, you know, to become better athletes, to know what they have to do. So, hey, you know, you got to make good on it.
Sure. And I think the gentleman enjoy coaching, and just like every time you coach, you learn too.
Exactly.
And I think here's the other thing is you're getting a phenomenal brain trust from the LCFL. The WFA is getting a phenomenal brain trust from the LCFL that they couldn't get otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. So
because
it's about to branch out, you know, like I said. I'm starting here on the West Coast. And the LCFL just added a Southern division, so I'm gonna try to get. I'm gonna tell some of the Texas region teams, and you know, in that area to get involved. You know, then back east, you know, teams out of Philly, New York, I'm gonna tell them to get involved.
And I think there's the LCFL East and West on both sides of the nation. I think the East is sort of started in the Philadelphia area, but there's also some strong minor league teams, I think, up in the Northwest and even in Florida.
Yeah, like I said, we're going to be incorporating all that, you know. It's football at its best, and the only way, you know, both entities to survive is you got to go hand in hand with one another.
Right. As you say, go hand in hand for the entities to survive because, you know, at this time, let's face it, we're in a tough economic climate. And if women's football can make it through this right now, the WFA can make it through this climate because we've seen a few leagues go in the last couple of years. NWFL just left this last year. Prior to that, I think it was the WPFL went.
Yeah.
It's like one league goes per year, it seems like. I don't know if we'd say that's a good statistic or not. But I think the Women's Football Alliance needs to take a head and look forward to the future.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, Coach, let's talk a little bit about this last weekend up in Fresno, California.
All righty.
That was a quite impressive game, a 38-0. First of all, if you could just tell me how do you think the ladies from the Ventura held up throughout the game and not losing spirit. I mean, wasn't that a little impressive?
You know what? I was actually impressed, just for the simple fact that, you know, they really wasn't looking at the score. They wanted to play.
Right.
And they're in the same boat we were in. You know, we've got a bunch of rookies out there, you know, still
right.
learning the game. You know, a few vets trying to help them along the way. You know,
right.
I applaud them on their efforts because, you know, most teams, especially at this level, they drop their heads and, you know, then that's all she wrote. You know, they keep fighting.
I've seen it at all levels, but I hate to say it, but it does happen quite often. You know, these aren't players making, you know, $3 to $5 million a year. They're doing it out of the love of the game. And I think those players did show the love of the game by not falling apart, not, you know, getting upset with each other, not, you know, not getting frustrated, but just hanging in there, giving it their best. And I was just really, really impressed myself just watching the game that the girls, they took a beating, they took a licking, but kept on ticking. They got right back up, and I was really impressed by them. Now let's talk about the Lynx so far. What do you think? What are some words you would, the first couple words you thought of when the game was over?
Well, my first word, my first thought, man, was like, wow. You know, I have high expectations of everybody that steps on my field. You
right.
know, I really try to get everyone to think and feel along the same levels as I do. You
right.
know, as far as I'm concerned, people probably label me as a thug of women's football. You know, I'm the hoodie. You know, and beat up on everybody, but you know what? I'm out here to win, and I'm out here to make sure that my players win. You
right.
know?
Well, your track record proves that you're a winner.
Exactly.
So
again, I mean, I know how to lose. You know, I've taken my bumps and bruises. You know, but you know, let's face it, we don't just play this sport just to have fun. You know,
right.
we play. And as long as my players, you know, think along the same line, then we're good.
Right.
I was more along the lines impressed with my rookies because they have really stepped up to the plate.
Yeah. Can I ask you about one rookie, Mick
yeah.
Ficker? Tell me about this this crazy
Man.
Person in the backfield. I mean, she is off. She is, seems to be unstoppable. She just, you know, what I'm so impressed with is that she was getting sandwiched by both the defensive ends. She took two steps forward, and they crunched each other. It was like you would see it on a America's Favorite Videos. And she just, they crunched each other, and then she took off running. I want to say she's a little bit of Vince Young and a little bit of Joe Montana, just a real athlete. Now, tell me about it. I mean, obviously she's been in sports before.
You know what? She's a D1 basketball player out of Cal Poly Pomona.
Very good university.
Point guard, you know, and it's just ironic that her name is Vic. And, me, honestly, other than her being a lefty, she plays like Michael Vick.
Right.
You know, and I knew from the moment she stepped out on my field, she was going to be something awesome when I saw her throw the ball. And then when I saw her movement, you know, that right there was just phenomenal. And that same day, I went to my coaches. I said, you know, she just took the starting spot. You know, it was just that easy.
The first day out, huh?
First day out, you know.
Wow.
As a coach, you know, there's certain things that I look for, and she meets all the criteria. She's very instinctive, you know, and to be a basketball a point guard, you know, it's the same thing as being a quarterback. You got to command your team, you got to navigate, and sometimes as a point guard, if you got to take it on your own, you take it on your own. And she does just that. You know,
would you say she's a little...
What's that?
No, I'm saying, would you say in some ways she's a little bit like Magic Johnson in the same sense where she can read all the D-backs on the field? And as you saw, she made a pass, a phenomenal pass, just in stride, which was really impressive, to Lisa King.
You know, I couldn't compare her to Magic. I would more so compare her to let's say Dwayne Wade.
Okay. And why is that?
It's like that. Because,
okay.
Dwayne Wade, I mean, those who know basketball, Dwayne Wade, he's one of those. I mean, he's a high flyer.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's a scorer, but he's also a passer.
Right.
You know, and he's an assist man. So either way it goes, you know, you get the best of all, you know, all worlds. And Vic, she's the business. She is the business.
She seems to have that natural athletic instinct.
Yeah, it was just, you know, I noticed the natural movement, you know, on day one.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I could not pass up an opportunity. I had to make her a quarterback.
Right, right. And I noticed another thing. Well, that's another thing I want to ask you about. Now, the Yosei sisters, Ashley, Audrey, and Sila, you got a pretty solid line out there. And I noticed you're talking. I mean, like I was going to say, that's the Samoan force down on your line there. That's the Samoan enforcers. I mean, those three girls they're some strong girls.
Well, I have Diesel. She's the oldest, you know. Then there's Tractor Trailer. She's the second oldest. And then Semi, she's the baby of the trio.
So pretty much they're commercial vehicles.
They're commercial vehicles. And they move well. I mean, dude, when I had them doing Oklahoma drills, I was just amazed. Well, they can get up and move and make it.
It seems they are not on their heels. They're on their toes.
They're on their toes. I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, you get athletes who can move like that of that size, and it's phenomenal.
Right.
So, you got to know how to work it.
You're talking about athletes who know how to move. She seemed to be all over the field. It's Tamara McDonald.
I call her T-Mac because she has mentality. Play for the Houston Rockets.
Uh-huh.
I mean.
One thing I noticed about her, she has a natural ability, almost like Barry Sanders does, to cut back. So the great running backs of our time and for many years, Gail Sayers, they're taking the ball down the left, then they see a break of the motion, and they cut back to the right. I saw that in one of her plays, and it looked like that Gail Sayers move. She has that, which I rarely see. I've seen numerous women's football games for years now, many, many different teams, and I've noticed one thing. That's a rarity to see one of the players be able to cut back the way the team acted.
You know what? She's still learning the position. And again, it's one of those things where, as a basketball player, you know, she's using a lot of her basketball, you know, athleticism.
Right.
By the way, she's one of the coaches at Cal Poly Pomona.
somebody else from Cal Poly. Must be a fine university. I think I mentioned that's my alma mater myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Matter of fact, my play sister went played basketball at Cal Poly Pomona. In fact, two national championships.
Oh, yeah. Very fine university with fine athletics. Hey, one other thing I noticed is Michelle Garcia on a cross. She was a D-back, and it was just a simple pass pattern, and she took out the other player with just a nice, clean shoulder tackle. And Michelle's not a physically big woman. She's, you know, she's a size 2 at best. How do you train your? Tell me about that, because I see that so rarely. Matter of fact, it's funny. I can think of two players that I know who can make nice clean tackles, and that is Suzanne Lynn and Angela Mims, who you've coached both of those girls.
Yeah.
Well, do you work on?
I can honestly say, because like I said, I've had Michelle briefly. with the SoCal Breakers last year.
Right.
But this time, you know, this season, I really try to emphasize the fact that, you know, they got to get their pads waist level.
Right.
You know, in the beginning of the game, they were kind of hitting kind of high because, you know, again, they're feeling each other out. You know, who's stronger
right.
than who? But things I had to tell them was, forget about who's stronger than who. Fundamental tackle.
Right.
That's what I need. You know, we spent
right.
a lot of time doing Oklahoma drills, you know, one-on-one, head-to-head, angle and pursuit, you know,
right.
things of that nature. And I need fundamental tackle. I mean, it's the same thing I preach to my men. And, you know, these guys who've been playing football since probably Pop Warner, and they're
right.
still hard-headed and have a hard time following directions. So I have to get on them.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, if I have to get down and demonstrate it, I will.
Uh-huh.
Just so you can see what it looks like and how, you know, how it's done.
And also, would you say it's a good feel to make a good, clean shoulder tackle? It's like taking a nice bite out of a steak or something. It's just a good feel to it.
You know what? The joy comes from when you've made that tackle and you know it was a tackle for, let's say, a loss.
Right.
Or you know it was a touchdown saving tackle.
Right.
That's where the joy feel comes from.
Yeah.
Or when you make that fundamental wrap and you drive them to the turf.
Uh-huh.
Well, that right there.
Now that right there, Melody Peterson, she's
yeah.
one of your wide receivers, D-back. She has some good legs on her. Tell me about her. Where'd you find her?
Let me tell you a little story about Melody.
Yeah.
Melody played free safety for the L.A. Lasers back in 2002.
Really?
I had to go up against her when I was coaching the Aftershock.
Uh-huh.
And back then we had a running back, Adrian Penn, Josh Penn's sister.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's a big girl. If you remember seeing her, she's a big girl. They call her.
Yeah.
Or coming up with a headache, or at least a mouth concussion.
Wow.
And one game, Adrian was coming through. You know, we sent her on a 30 dive. And
uh-huh.
she was through, and out of nowhere, you saw number 8 in a black and red jersey just totally
uh-huh.
lift her off the ground.
Wow.
And I was like, ouch.
Uh-huh.
Didn't know who she was. All I knew was number 8. I knew what the face looked like underneath the helmet,
uh-huh.
but I never knew the name.
Right.
So when T-Mac said, hey, I'm going to bring Melody Peterson out, and I'm like, you know, the name sounds familiar. You know, couldn't quite catch on until she came out to practice. And I said,
uh-huh.
holy S-H-double-I-T. she's a natural hitter. She's
yeah.
like the Ronnie Lott of women's football. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, you know, it's funny because I saw some of her nice hard hits, and she really laid some people out well. Nice, hard hitting. Among the team, how many rookies would you say compared to vets you have?
I would say maybe 3-1 are the odds. 3 rookies to 1 vet.
Wow. So now I know because Nelda Costner, I think, has played before, and
Nelda's,
you know, some
played for. Yeah, Nelda's played for me. In fact. She played for me starting out with the Quakes.
Uh-huh.
2004.
Name's a little
familiar.
Right.
What's that?
And Lisa King also has played before.
Yeah, Lisa King played for the LA Amazon, as well as T-Mac.
Uh-huh.
Who, like I said, Michelle Garcia, she actually owned a team at one point, the SoCal Bandits, and then she went on to play several years with the Breakers.
Uh-huh.
And then I have Leslie Wickman. She's also a longtime vet. Played with me with the California Quakes.
Now, did you have to recruit some of these players, or did they just come to you naturally?
Yeah, I did have to. I did have to. Like I said, it was, and it basically came from word of mouth.
It did. And it came pretty, not easily, but it came around.
Yeah, I mean, it was a timing thing, man, you know. In the beginning, everything looked sort of grim, but, you know, just patience. All it takes is patience. And, like, you just start piling in one, you know, two, three at a time.
Uh-huh. And next thing you know, you have a full roster.
Next thing I know, I have a full roster, and I am very excited. You know, I love the amount of talent that I have out here. And like, and trust me, I send the words out to everybody. Watch out.
Uh-huh. Now, it's funny you mentioned. We talked earlier about the other teams in the league. Is it fair enough to say that your immediate arch rival would be the Las Vegas Showgirls?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's rivalry at its best right there. You know, in fact, me and Dee talking about starting a little. You know, making this as like a USC UCLA thing.
And I think I think you both have tremendous respect for each other, just like UCLA and USC does.
Oh, no, I mean, no doubt. I mean, right now, Deion's got two up on me. You know, and like I told him, I said, man, I didn't have a third. I got the amount of talent that I had last year is like a third of what I got now. You know what I mean?
Really?
Like, when he beat me, and I make it known, he barely beat me.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have a quarterback. I didn't have a really bruising back, or you know, I didn't have all that. I didn't have speedy receivers. The one saving grace that I had was Susan Lynn.
Right.
You know, I didn't have that amount of talent. But
well, I think in your situation last year, where you're limited, you were not the owner of the team, and you're the coach, but just the same. You didn't nearly have the talent or the accessibility or a lot of the things you have this year.
No, I didn't. I mean, well, as far as the talent wise, you know, they, you know, it's like they trying to find a needle in a haystack. You know, that's with every team at every level. You know, it's like
right.
Trying to find that needle in a haystack. As far as control, like I said, I had self control, but not as much as I do now. You know, like I said, just being. This is my show. I call the shots.
You have the freedom now to get the results you want to get.
Exactly.
And an example is the relationship with the Skulls and the LCFL.
Exactly.
That's a good example. Now I see the first game will be on April 18th in Las Vegas against the Showgirls on that Saturday.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So you're being put to the test day one.
Day one. But see, like I said, it's that respect level. I have a great deal of respect for Deion. I know he's got talent. You know, in fact, he's got Nicky Johnson out there to be his starting quarterback. And those of you, everyone who's kind of learning who Nicky Johnson is in the women's football world, but, you know, she's spearheading, you know, flag football in the high school levels for women.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's all being, you know, pretty much supported by the NFL.
Oh yeah, that they have a program. The NFL is spearheading some kind of a women's flag football program. Exactly.
And so it's a wonderful thing, and she's a talented, very talented athlete. You know, I watched some of her scrims, and yeah, she's a talented athlete. But it's like I tell Deion. I got a lot coming for him.
I think you're both going to bring out your best that week, and I think it's a game that's going to be high respect, and it'll also be a lot of intensity out there too.
Oh, no
doubt. And
like I said, in fact, Deion's got a couple of players that played for me. So.
Oh, really?
He's got a couple of them. So, needless to say, you know, again, he's going to bring out his guns. I'm going to bring out my guns, and we're going to see who's got the biggest gun and the most ammo.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, Unfortunately, what I realized, and I'm letting everybody know, I'm coming through like the Matrix, point blank. You know, all I got to do is just dial it up, and I'm coming out with everything I want.
I think your girls have a lot of intensity. I know there's a little after play activity in the game with the Black Widows. One of the players was tackled, and was their tackle, they were slammed into the sideboards, similar to a Marty McSorley check. And there was a little extracurricular activity, shall we say, during the game. And as you said, that was they're a little zealous, but, you know, it was a little team bonding, you mentioned. Is something to that effect?
Well, I can tell you this much. You know, my girls are very intense and
right.
very aggressive. So they carry my persona. everybody who knows me, they know I'm a very aggressive individual. So.
Right. And if you have enemies along the way, that's part of life.
Exactly.
And now the next week you're going off to Tucson, Arizona to play the Southern Arizona She Devils. Now, are they an established team or are they a new team?
Our schedule with the She Devils is going to be a little bit different. You know, they are – I know they're having a bit of a difficulty, so –
They have a do they have a history in another league? The name's a little familiar.
Yeah, they actually came out last season in the NWFA.
And they're
so
now in
they
WFA.
Do have here under their belt.
I see. And then your first home game over at the MiraCosta High Stadium will be on May 9th, Saturday, against the Phoenix Prowlers. And you're familiar with them?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely familiar. In fact, you know, Phoenix kind of walked around and boasts that they're the, you know, they had the biggest line in women's football. You know, I beg to differ, but, you know.
they have the biggest line, but do they have the quickness of the Yosei sisters? Do they have the quickness there?
No, they don't. You know, and it's, like I said, it's one of those things where I look at everybody in general, and I know Brian over there in Phoenix, he's going to have a very nice squad over there as well. You know, they're just one of those players that teams that you can't underestimate.
But you have a mutual respect for them.
Yeah. You know, I gotta have a respect for everyone, and especially if they're in my division, you know, or in my league per se, I'm going to have respect for everyone. But everybody's got to understand, you know, I'm out to win.
Right.
Make sure that I win.
Then you come back the following week, a second home game against the Showgirls at home.
Oh, yeah.
So you're put to the test real quick once again.
Oh, yeah. And like, once I beat the Showgirls on the 18th, you know,
uh-huh.
that fear factor would have already been established. But if I know Dion, you know, he's going to get his girls pumped up and they're going to be hungry. You know, and they're going to want redemption. I know this. I'm expecting it.
So in some ways, your hardest game will be your first game, possibly.
Yeah, it will be.
Right. And then the following week after the Showgirls, you head off to Phoenix, Arizona to play the Prowlers again. And then, if I get this right, you're playing the Showgirls a third time?
That's right.
Wow. So it's you don't want it to be just two out of three. You want it to be three out of three.
Yeah, I'm trying to sweep everybody. I'm trying to do one. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, through all my years of playing, you know, other than, you know, my freshman year of college, where at Long Beach City College, and we hosted the state track and field championships.
Right.
I've never had a home playoff game.
Oh.
Even when I played all overseas, I've never had a home playoff game. You know, we
now,
were
tell
always
me how that pro. How will that work in the Women's Football Alliance for the postseason?
Well, pretty much, like I said, each division is going to play each other. So, like, for example, my division will play someone out of the Southwest, out of, you know, that whole Texas region. And pretty much it's going to go by best record. And if record is even, then more than likely they're probably going to go, you know, points against.
Yeah, defensive points against. So basically it'll be the top four or top eight teams that go to the playoffs?
Yeah, top eight.
Sure, no.
Top eight teams will go to the playoffs. And then they'll, up to the championship game, the team with the better record will have the home field?
Yeah, well, the national championship game is going to be played in New Orleans.
Playing New Orleans, the Big Easy.
The Big Easy. I've never been to New Orleans, and I plan on being there for a championship.
Trying to beat the Big Easy for the championship. That will be sometime in July?
Oh!
Yeah, actually, championship game is going to be the first week of August.
The championship game will be the first week of August.
Yeah.
Okay. And then some of the other things I want to talk about is this team looked great. A lot of strengths there. Michelle's hitting, Vic's ability to scramble, to hit the open receiver, not throwing any real bad passes. McDonald's ability to put a good clean shoulder tackle, just like Melody Peterson. What are some of the weaknesses right now that you need to work, not so much weaknesses, but what are some of the things you want to work on right now that are not big secrets to the opponents?
Well, really it's just staying focused.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's really the thing. You know, keeping
the mental
focused.
Side.
What's that?
Keeping it the mental side of the game.
Exactly. Because, their level of execution is fine, you know. My pursuit, you know, once I sit down and look at the tapes again, you know, their pursuit to the ball was pretty good. You know,
right.
Defensively, offensively, you know, the execution was there. You know, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Vic has completed at least 60% to 70% of her passes. So, you know, my receivers' routes were crisp. You know, they saw the quarterback was in a little bit of trouble. They broke off their routes to come back to the ball.
Right.
You know, or if need be, like the 45-yard bomb, you know, just that timing. That's one of the things that I worked on, timing.
That I noticed that she caught it in stride, which is, I don't want to say rare, but it is. It's rare because a lot of times you'll see a lot of button hooks or down and outs and or corners or posts, and it seems like they'll just stop and wait for the ball to get there. But some of you, and I've noticed that even with your team last year with the Breakers, that you were really concerned about the timing and the passing and the patterns. And I think some of your strengths is obviously you had number 87 last year with the Breakers, but I think a lot of your effort is getting the girls the sense of timing.
Well, I'll put it to you like this. In comparison from last season, you know, no disrespect to the girls that I had last season, you know, just – My quarterback wasn't consistent. You know, my receivers, they weren't the fastest receivers. You know, they had decent, they had pretty good hands, but, you know, that timing just wasn't there. And I wasn't
nothing compared to what
offense.
Compared to what you have now.
Oh, way different. And I got to also look at it like this. I didn't call my offense last season. You know, I had brought someone else in to call my offense, and I ran the defense. That's why, you know, if anybody can honestly say, you know, the Breakers was probably one of the best defensive teams. You know, I gave up little, very little, as a matter of
fact. I think in the first game of the season when you played the Quake, your arch rivals there last season, they barely squeaked by with a 5-3 victory.
Yeah, that was barely, you know. The stats straight for everybody because a lot of people were under the assumption that Monique Zaki rushed for 154 yards against me. She barely made 60.
Yeah, I was at that game and I saw that the Breakers were outmanned at least 2-1 per player.
Yeah, I only 17 players that game.
And I don't think Suzanne Lynn, your number 87, missed a single play in the whole game.
Mm-mm. Nope.
And a couple other players were in the same boat as her, and there was not much rest for your ladies, but they hung in there in a 5-3 victory when you're at least out number 2-1. That's tough. Now, I see Manny Viega and Ray Lopez Jr. are handling your defense this year, and Jed and Mark Ring and Eric are running your offense. And how's that going with the timing with your players? Because I think I mentioned to you, I saw Las Vegas Showgirls, and they're very good off the ball. They're one of the fastest teams off the ball. When the ball snapped, the girls are moving. How are you going to react to that, or how are your girls doing also in that aspect?
Well, you know, tonight when I sit down and go over the defense with my girls, like I said, that's going to be the true test. You know, it's one of the things that I did like about Mark Ring, and I learned exactly how great of a coach he is. Is when we were out for the women's football camp at conference. The man is excellent on the line. Excellent. So, you know, yeah, I hired him, and I paid him to come up and work with my line. You know, that's why my line actually did fairly well. You know, especially for their first encounter.
And I noticed, Coach, one other thing. It sounds fundamental and simple, but I think it is important. Comparing the Black Widows to the Lynx this last week, the center snaps, except for just one mistaken hike, they're pretty good. Your snaps were pretty good overall for a first game.
Yeah, they were. And
because I think a lot of first game jitters.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there's still just a couple of minor things that I gotta nail down. But overall, I mean, everything went fairly well. And, you know, everybody who knows football, film doesn't lie. So when I sit down and I look at the film tonight and just really just pick everything apart, then I will be able to just say, okay, well, this is what I need to work on. And build on it from there. You know, Vegas, again, and they – I know what they do already, so they don't know what I have. So it's that the element of surprise, the fear of the unknown.
Right.
And I think a lot of people underestimate really what I bring to the table and what I can accomplish with what I have.
Now, you saw Las Vegas last year. You played them twice when you were the Breakers, and you guys were both in the IWFL. And they had previously been in another league themselves and in WFA, I think. Where do you think they stand versus last year, this year? Are they similar? Or obviously they got that Nikki Johnson has brought up their game.
Well, you know, I think Vegas has added some key components. One, that's going to definitely strengthen their offense just a little bit more, but more so defensively. You know, they're going to have pretty big defensive line, you know, which is fine. I just know that when I play Vegas, it's not going to be one of those high scoring games because I'm not going to let it be that way.
Right.
I'm one of those coaches where, as I try to get everyone to understand, I will control the tempo of the game. If I want to scoring game, I will run the score up, not the other team. I will.
Uh-huh.
If I keep it low, I'm going to keep it low.
Right. Almost like Phil Jackson's triangle defense.
Exactly.
Where you control the tempo of the game.
Yeah, I got to. Because I don't want to see last season. If you look at the Quake and the Showgirls play, there was no defense. It was a shootout. But if
pretty
you
much.
The way I played the Showgirls, there was some defense involved, a lot of it, you know, and I had to make sure of that.
Did you bring them to overtime last year?
No, we didn't go to overtime, but, you know, it was two closely fought games, and it could have went either way.
Right. So in some ways you feel this game may be about fundamentals and not making mistakes.
Exactly. And that's the way I like games played.
Right. If I remember right, doesn't Vegas have a girl who's about 6'1 or so, and I think Tassali, that just literally goes out, finds the shortest corner, runs a 15-yard button hook, and gained a lot of yardage that way? You remember that girl?
Well, I mean,
because I noticed that, honestly, I saw the Quake and I saw the Showgirls, and that was the Showgirls almost beat the Quake by just sending this tall girl out there run a not even a slant, just a button hook, and gain 15 yards every play.
That stuff doesn't work on me.
Yeah, how are you gonna? That's one thing I was, because I noticed that with that last year, that's how the Showgirls operated, is they'd get a 15-yard button hook. I think she was number 81, Tassali, and she was very effective. That's not going to work with you. That 15-yard button hook on with that 6'2" girl.
You got to understand one thing. I put together my defenses according to who I play against.
Uh huh.
And I run my offense accordingly. And the way I see things, I will control all facets of the game. You know, there's no way about it. So if she comes out, she's going to get hands put on her, point blank. If the ball comes near her, she's going to get hands put on her.
Simple. Yeah. Now, so T-Mac and Melody Peterson are going to give Nikki Johnson a good introduction to the WFA.
Oh, no. Oh, man, I put you like this. It's not just going to be them two. I think everybody better watch out for Mariana Sherman, Shannon Gutierrez, Janine Guerrero. Man, you better watch out for them. I mean, they're going to be top notch.
Yeah. Now, are you going to be using Michelle more as offensively or defensively, Michelle Garcia, this year?
No, she's a defensive. She's a defensive back. You know, that's her position, and I'm not going to rotate and put her anywhere else. You know, except corner.
I know that's the other question. I know you got some. Obviously, you got tremendous athletes on both sides of the ball. And I saw this last week, it was a shortened game. It's indoor, and it's 8 players rather than 11 players. But Tamara McDonald went both ways. A couple other players went both ways. During the season, do you plan to have some people going both ways, or do you think you're just going to keep them on one side of the ball?
No, everybody's going to be going both ways. You know,
everybody's
just I plan on rotating.
So, what are some of your players you think, like what you had is Suzanne Lynn, you know, literally played every play last year in every game. Are you going to have? Do you foresee any of your players starting offensively and defensively and literally being in every play of the game?
No. I got enough talent out here to where I can actually pull. I can rotate.
So you literally have almost twice the roster you had last year.
Oh, big time, man! No questions asked. I mean, I look at every position. And I'm like, man, I wish I had this last season. I'd have went 8-0, but the only thing is, I wouldn't have my butt whipped 69-3 against Dallas. In fact, I know I would have beaten Dallas.
Uh huh. Yeah.
You know, Dallas was a good team, but they, you know.
So the difference this year is, well, not the difference, but the real strength you're saying is you got a solid offensive backfield. Solid receivers, solid offensive line, solid defensive line, linebackers, and defensive backs. You have a solid team all over.
I'm balanced all over. There's
just
no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, you couldn't ask for anything more. You know.
Now, last year you had the Breakers.
Uh-huh.
Suzanne Lynn, the all world superstar. You're not so dependent on any player this year like that, like you were last year.
No. Man, like I said, I put you like this. I got too many weapons. You know, if I want to hurt, let's just say offensively, I can spread the field wide open. I got 4 speedy receivers with hands. You know, Lisa King, Erin Neckow, Cassie Brick, Ashley Smith. You know, that's just those four to name a few.
Right.
You know, I got tight ends that I'm going to utilize. You know, Shannon Gutierrez, Fabian Mulato, Leslie Wickman. I mean, again, I got tight ends. I got Vic. And surprisingly enough, and a lot of people don't realize, but Melody Peterson can play just about anywhere on the field.
Really?
She can kick. She can throw.
She can definitely knock some people on their tails.
Exactly. You know, I got a backfield. I got balance. I got a lot of.
One thing I noticed is you called a few times during the game there, and it was very effective. You had two players on to the left, two to the right. You had basically two split ends and two flankers and an empty backfield, just the quarterback back there in a shotgun situation. And the four receivers just cleared out both sides, and one ran a corner, the other ran a post on each side. And next thing you know, Vic had a lot of real estate to run. And I think that's one thing you have this year that you never had before is an athletic quarterback like Vic.
Yeah.
They can do things. When you have the receivers clearing out the backfield and the tight ends bringing them out, all she has to do is scramble away from one or two players, and she has herself a nice hunk of real estate to move her.
Yeah, she's by far the most athletic quarterback I've ever had at this level of football.
Okay, you know, in practice, who is the fastest in practice?
Wow. That's a good question. You know, at one point I used to think Lisa King was the fastest, but Cassie came out. She kind of took that title.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Cassie Brick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she kind of took that title.
So Lisa King, because I remember when she, it was so beautiful to see her in stride just turn on the jets and catch the ball right over her shoulder. It's just a beautiful sight to see a nice timing pattern. So you have Lisa King, you have Cassie Brick, and you have Sarah McVicker, who have some real wheels on them.
Well, if you notice the footage on that 45-yard touchdown, saw number 48, Brick, that's Cassie Brick. She's right there with her.
Right.
You know.
So
I have a lot of speed.
You have a level of speed that you've never had before.
Exactly.
Even with, can you say all the teams you've had or just recently?
No, that's with all my teams.
Wow. Getting their speed together. Now, who has the most muscle? Who is the strongest woman out there on the team, would you say?
Oh, you know, that's a good question. Honestly, that would have to go.
Looks like we're running out of time, Coach.
We'll
answer that question next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Coach Barney, to talk with you about the WFA and the California League.
It's a pleasure having you, James.
Once again, everybody take a look at WFAfootball.com. And also take a look at www.calynxfootball.info for more information about your California League.
And once again, that's our show for the evening. Look forward to hearing from you real soon.
Have a good week. Bye-bye.